Blog Talk Radio.
Guide and protect an eye. Evil forces will never get me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
I see enemies falling by my side.
Falling by my side, oh.
I see enemies falling by my side.
Falling by my side, oh.
I see the wicked falling by my side. I'm my refuge when the storm comes. You be my strong rock and my conqueror. You be my fortress and my refuge when the storm comes. You be my strong rock and my protector. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue rise against thee in judgment. Thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and ever righteousness is upon me, says the Lord. I see enemies falling by my side.
Righteousness is upon me, says the Lord. and declare the name of Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Thank you, Jehovah.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, Tedline. Father God, as we come before you this morning with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, we thank you, Lord God, for what you've done. We thank you for what you're about to do. And we thank you for what you're doing right now. We thank you that you're increasing our faith. We thank you that you're increasing our understanding. We thank you that you, God, bigger, broader, and wider within us than ever before. I thank you, Father God, that you are revealing yourself to us in great and wonderful ways. And I pray right now, spirit of gratitude, to just overshadow us in Jesus' name. I thank you for understanding, skill, wisdom, and knowledge. I thank you for it this morning in the name of Jesus. I thank you this morning for power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. And I pray this morning, Father God, I just pray. And I bind and rebuke ignorance. I destroy the power of ignorance in the name of Jesus this morning. Because, Father God, we must be delivered from the spirit of ignorance in order to embrace, walk in what you called us to walk in. I break the power of that spirit that causes men and women to go backwards, look backwards, act backwards, and think backwards. Because you said in your word, he that acts back, thinks back, looks back, and goes back is not fit for the kingdom. I thank you for kingdom empowerment. In Jesus' name, I pray this morning. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you've had an opportunity to listen to that message from yesterday more than once. More than once. And I don't want you to get caught up thinking you have to pursue what you already have. But I want you to know this. It all works through Jesus. It all works through you being in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus being in you. So this morning, I'm just going to share with you a little book I wrote. I wrote this, it's just really short. But I wrote it for missionaries. And yesterday I went in there and pulled it out. And I'm changing it. I'm changing it. The new name, I'm giving it a new name. So the new name of it is Experiencing the Next Level of God's Anointing. Experiencing the next level of God's anointing with power. A lot of people are not walking in the power of God. And a lot of people are not experiencing the benefits of a person walking in the power of God. And I asked Reggie to send you out a text yesterday. And the text said, today is graduation day for some of you. And I congratulated you. Because in my ministry, my endeavor is to get you into a place in God, to reconnect and connect you for real back to God, back to your God-given rights, back to your inheritance. And this has been an incredible journey that I asked you to share with me, because I wanted to see God do that with you. And you know what? I saw it and I'm seeing it. I'm actually seeing him do what I have been praying for him to do for 30 years in front of my eyes and through my ministry, through the ministry that he's given me. I wanted to see people that love him empowered, just like I have been. I know that my life was changed completely when God delivered me of those demons, those legion, and filled me with himself. I know that my life was changed completely when I lost my mind and God gave me the mind of Christ. Are you saying I'm perfect? No, indeed. I'm teachable. That's all I am. I'm teachable. I don't have any preconceived notions about God. I don't have any preconceived notions about what God can or cannot do. As far as I'm concerned, he can do anything he wants to do. And he wants to do a lot more than I've ever seen. So I keep myself teachable. I keep myself in a spirit of servanthood. Understanding my whole, I was born to serve God. My only regret is I wish I could have been maybe like some of the kids I see that come to Christ, you know, young, and have the proper teaching. And have the proper teaching with it. So therefore, you can have a kid empowered at 3. You can have a baby born with the parents of the baby born with the knowledge that the baby is called to serve God. Now that's got to be one of the most awesome things in the whole wide world. So I think if I could have anything, I think I would like to have had that. But since I didn't, I'm making up for it. Because the Bible says, he that wins souls is wise. And the Bible says that the winning of one soul covers a multitude of sins. Did you know that? Yeah, it says he that wins, that the winning of one soul covers a multitude of sins. And I know I was a chief sinner, man. But now, I'm no longer a chief sinner. I'm a chief servant. I am a chief servant. And according to what the Lord was telling me, to get you to where I got you to yesterday. And the interesting thing is, the Bible is authentic and real. Because some of the people, when I first came on this blog talk, did not stay because they didn't need to go through all of this. Some others came on at the end, but God already had them ready. So this ministry was their next level. And so God had them come in here right at the point where they needed to be. I mean, God is awesome. And as I was talking to Lorna yesterday, and that song came up, Through It All. Through all of this, I've learned to trust in Jesus even more. This morning, I want to say to you, keep yourself teachable. And be honest with yourself. I don't know what time it was last night, but Reggie and Jose and I were having this conversation. And it was just after I had talked to the Now Network people, again telling me, we got to redo this one episode because it didn't fit the frame. And telling us, you know, like, we'll do the editing after we went through all of this. But you know what? God had us go through all of this. And God had Jose learn what he learned so that we can put our own YouTube channel up. And in addition, and so you say, well, why God wants you to put a YouTube channel up? Let me tell you why. Everybody called to God has a mission. So now you know, at least you should know, you should have listened to yesterday's teaching. And you should know today, this morning, you should have got up with knowledge about the anointing of liberty, about the Spirit of the Lord being up on you to operate in the spiritual realm, natural realm, and the supernatural realm. And if you don't know why, you should have some understanding that he might be glorified through you, because you are him on this earth. Not only are you him, but you're called to be a priest of the Lord, ministers of our God. And God told you yesterday that for the shame, the pain, that you're going to have double. And for the confusion, you're going to rejoice in your portion. So then, when I talked to the lady from the Now Network, I had all this on my mind. And I remembered in verse 8, God said, I will direct your work in truth. And I said, okay. And then I remembered God said that he had made an everlasting covenant with me. And then I start thinking about, I know what I've got to do. I began to think about all the people that I have ministered to over the years. And what was the one connection? What was it? Well, even as an overseas missionary, even as an urban missionary, the one connection is I have been anointed to destroy the works of witchcraft and to set people at liberty from witchcraft, all kind of witchcraft. And, you know, yesterday God had said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And I began to realize what I have shared with you, that when God anoints you, you are anointed and chosen for a specific purpose in furthering God's kingdom. And then I remembered I had talked to Gwen Cooper when she was here. And I had talked to her about God's establishment. And I can remember specifically when the Holy Spirit said to me, I am going to establish you. See, most of the things I talk to people about, God has either taught me about it or shown it to me, had me go dig it up. And believe me, I have thousands of books here. If you come, you'll see them. They're everywhere. And sometimes they'd be stacked up on the floor, knee high, like when I was researching the gin. And I haven't done that ministry yet because I haven't finished research. I'm a researcher, a biblical researcher. The difference between, I won't call myself a scholar because I'm not generalized enough. I have been researching the ministry of deliverance for over 20-something years. Now, I've been saved and delivered for 30. The first 5 or 4, I was trying to figure out what had happened to me, trying to understand it, and to function knowing I had been called to serve. But God taught me how to serve. And I'm going to tell you something. Before you will be served, you will serve. So he taught me how to serve by having me become a servant to older missionaries up in the mountains of Lemoyne, Honduras. And those old missionaries up there, women and men that had served God so much that they had outlived all their family members. And so I had to go in as a missionary. I had to build them a house, because where they were living had dirt 6 inches deep, almost. They had nobody take care of them. And I had to go up there in those mountains, and I had to organize them. Had to bring electricity in there, and they didn't even have really refrigerators. I had to bring everything you bring with electricity, refrigerators and generators and wells, and leave them a lot better off and minister to the Mosquito Indians too. Then when I came, God had to work all that worldly stuff out of me. Remember, now I was coming out of corporate America. I was coming out with a lot of pride, a lot of everything that a missionary doesn't need. But the one thing that I had, which was the only thing God needed, I had a heart to serve him. And in having a heart to serve him, I knew I was going to have to serve his people. What's wrong with a lot of you all? You say you want to serve God, but when it comes down to doing what God would have you to do in the area of service, you say, no, I don't want to do that. I didn't want to have to bathe. Can you imagine? I didn't want to have to bathe people. I didn't want to have to, if you don't have electricity, you don't have any washing machine. I didn't want to have to wash people's clothes on the washboard and boil water. I know nothing about that except what I had learned in the Army, which was a lot. And I had to put everything to use that I had learned in the Army. And today I'm so thankful. I'm just so thankful that God allowed me to do that. So this is my point. God has to establish you now. And what God is going to put in you, if he hasn't already, is a heart of servitude. Because God has anointed us. And God has sealed us. And God has given us his own self in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, if you graduated yesterday, you know that you have an anointing to release people into God as well. What I'm doing, I'm kind of recapping yesterday so that when I get you to, and see, isn't that interesting? God been working with you through this ministry. Hallelujah. Confirming his anointing of his own Holy Spirit unto you. God has been working these past months, maybe a year. Some of you have been on here from the beginning, and you were very much aware of how the Holy Spirit operates in the spiritual realm, but some of you weren't aware of that. But some of you were so aware of how God operates in the spiritual realm, you were ignoring or didn't utilize or didn't understand that he operates in the natural realm as well. So if you don't know how the Holy Spirit operates in both the spiritual and the natural realm, how can you know what God is trying to get through you and to you? And then how can you know what he wants you to put your faith on in and by in order to receive from the natural and spiritual growth level that you own today that you have never been on before? How can you know and operate in the fact that you are a member of the royal priesthood of kings if you don't know that you're no longer operating where you were before. So you don't measure your growth. You don't even see your growth spurt. And for the most part, you're operating beneath your privilege in Christ. And if you don't know that the same anointing that came on Jesus is the same anointing that came on you, and that anointing is an anointing that brings you into freedom and liberty in everything you do, in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. And if you don't know, how would you know that your spirit already knew and your soul is trying to embrace what your spirit already knows, and your body knows that it was created to worship God and bring it all together in unity, in harmony, in balance? But the peculiar thing is, it's trying to bring it into balance on a higher level than you ever been on before. It's trying to bring it into balance in a level that now the anointing, the spirit of liberty, this realm that you're walking in, is automatically attacking any and all forms of bondage. Any and all forms of bondage. It's attacking it. It's coming against it from your spirit man. But if your soulish man is caught, stuck, it's fighting against it. And then if you got demons or evil spirits or unclean spirits, or just say any spirit that opposes the things of God, it is trying to keep you a slave. I just can't think of no better word. In bondage. So you got your soul fighting against your empowerment, your growth, both spiritually and naturally. And the body, until something happens, it's going to be in limbo. Wherever it's in, if it's in good health, it's going to be in limbo there. But if it's in bad health, if it's under any bondages spiritually or soulishly, there's a war going on, and the war is from within and not from without, and that's why it's called spiritual or spirit warfare. Then what's even worse is if you have, we talked about that a little bit in that yesterday, a government that's trying to bring you into debt servitude, because the anointing conflicts with all forms of slavery or bondage, including sickness, disease, and debt servitude. Now, me, just like you, I begin to learn about the anointing. Or just like some of you, and just like some of the people who taught you. Because at one time, and there wasn't nobody running around here talking about the anointing, the anointing, the anointing, the anointing. Until Benny Hinn, until God used Benny Hinn, who, did you know Benny Hinn started out in missions? You got to know that. How else did he get from Jerusalem to Canada to America without being a missionary? Some of you don't even want to see Jesus as a missionary. But Jesus was your first missionary. And then the second one would have been Paul, the Apostle Paul. And guess what? The ministry, the New Testament ministry, is of missions, brothers and sisters. Missions that cause a clash against both the spiritual and the natural principalities, thrones, dominions, spiritual wickedness, and powers, which brings me up to here. If spiritual warfare is against spiritual spirits and powers, according to Ephesians 6, then it ought to just make common sense to you that God already knew you were going to have to deal with powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities, thrones, dominions, demons, devils, evil human spirits. And by God being a spirit himself, it just ought to make good common sense to you that God had to empower you above and beyond them. Or else, or God had to make the provision available to you to stay free. To stay free and to be able to make a choice whether you want to enter into his the privileges and the promises that come with his being sovereign. And in his sovereignty, remember I told you yesterday? Meaning that you, and he said it, liberty. He said it in Isaiah 61, and he said it again for you Old Testament saints. And he said it again in Luke chapter 4. After he had dealt with the devil, after being led by God into the wilderness to deal with the devil, to overcome the devil. And he sent his son as your perfect and my perfect example. So that means that there's something in God innate within you that don't, that chooses not to be bound. There's something in you, and it didn't come from you, that wants you to be free, that wants you to be unconstrained, unrestricted, and liberated. And brothers and sisters, that word liberty I told you yesterday means freedom from bondage. The root word meaning to move freely. When God placed his anointing upon you, he placed freedom and restoration upon you. Jesus, brothers and sisters, is also the Lord of liberty. The Jesus is right now by the person of God's Holy Spirit. And God, the Trinity, remember, the Spirit of Liberty. And Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord God anointed him to set at liberty, to set at freedom, and to preach that freedom to the poor, to heal with that freedom the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives with that freedom, and to restore the sight to the blind with that freedom. Meaning, setting them at liberty, setting them free. Who? Those that have been bruised with any type of bruising. And to preach or proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord is whatever year you receive this message, you receive this anointing. I told you in the Greek, liberty means freedom, pardon, and deliverance. So when Jesus said, the anointing is upon me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, he was talking about that Jubilee year, or that Jubilee. It was a specific Chronos time in God where you release from all debt bondages. We have confined the Holy Ghost to all things spiritual for too long while ignoring the natural. And you know what? We really can't put our faith where it needs to be to receive what really, really, really belongs to us if we can't see the fullness of God. The Bible talks about the fullness. And the anointing of liberty, when spoken about in Psalm 133, means to have it rubbed in, smeared on, to be dripped down. You ever? I do. I use my oil heavy. I pour it on people. I used to be so bad. People would be scared the oil was going to get in their clothes, and it never did. It never did. But the thing that, I'm kind of recapping yesterday because I want you to experience the next level of God's anointing with power. But if you don't believe the fullness of the anointing, you're not going to be able to appropriate. You're going to be stuck right where you are. So then it says that God directed the high priest to command his blessing, even life forevermore upon the children of Israel. And I said yesterday that he commands his blessings on you today through his word, because God says that all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. A year ago, and I reminded you, go to Walmart and buy the Bible promise book. It was only $4.99, and if you catch it on sale, it's $2.99 or $3.99. It's under $5. And I wanted you to look at all those promises. And not one of them is shortened, brothers and sisters. all of those promises of God are your inheritance. I asked you to read the Bible promise book. When you do that, you'll see where you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. And then yesterday I mentioned 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, the position of a liberated citizen of the kingdom of God. The only reason there's something happening called spiritual warfare, the only reason you have to fight is because the enemy, the devil, is trying to stop you from receiving and possessing your covenantal inheritance that comes by you living through faith in God. Only reason demons are unloosed on you is that Satan has a master plan to stop you from living as a son, to stop you from receiving, to keep you a slave or in bondage. I told you, you've been given certain God-given inalienable rights, and Satan has no authority over these rights. I said to you yesterday that God has made and given you great and precious promises that you might be a partaker of his divine nature. That's 2 Peter 1 and 4. They're never subject to forfeiture. And they've been brought to you through your anointing of God. The anointing God, the anointing of liberty changes your life. The anointing of God, the anointing of liberty brings to you healing. It brings to you more understanding called revelation, the revealing. Revealing you into the provisions of God. It's so awesome. It even brings you into debt-free living. It didn't just start with us. It started way back there, remember? Remember the widow came to Elijah? And she was crying out to the prophet about the debt that had overtaken her and her sons after her husband's death. God multiplied what she had supernaturally, and she was able to pay off all her debts. That's what the anointing changes your life into. Remember King David? God said he was a man after his own heart. He spoke of the oil of anointing and how it delivered him from all his enemies. Psalm 23. He anointed my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The anointing of liberty changes your life. It brings you into faith. It increases the measure of faith, brings you into the gift of faith, the fruit of faith. Wow. This anointing of liberty brings you into the blessings of God that the priest has already commanded upon you through his word. when he said all the promises of God in him. All the promises of God in him. All the promises of God are in Jesus. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians, all the promises of God in Jesus are yea, and in Jesus they are amen. Amen. Finish. Unto the glory of God. But it says by us. Read it. I'm talking about the anointing. Now, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to talk about this other part later. This anointing of freedom brings you into abundance, brothers and sisters. Abundance. Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. He said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. And I know somebody's going to get mad with me, but I'm not going to go back and worship no kingdom, no court in heaven when I have already surpassed that. I don't have to go and appeal to God in no courtroom. In me, I don't have to go appeal to him in no courtroom. Only do I have to appeal to God. You know, when I don't have to, and you don't have to either, because he's in you. But the enemy is always trying to think of something to take you back, because man ain't functioning in at the level of power that he should be. The law was to get you into where you are right now. Reconnected, connected in oneness with God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul chose to walk in the spirit of liberty. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As you recall from the word of God, the Bible says, the anointing breaks every yoke and removes every burden from God's people. As a citizen, connected and reconnected, you have precious promises that are never subject to forfeiture. However, that's what I told you yesterday. They can be unjustly stolen, or you can give them away. Unknowingly, you are a part of, the scripture says, you are a part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You are a people set at liberty. Liberty is the power of free choice. God's given anointing of liberty can accomplish what is needed in this generation. The only thing required is a greater understanding of it. It comes from the Holy Ghost. It comes from walking in the Word of God. It comes from knowing that you've been redeemed. It comes from knowing who the head of the church is, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It comes from knowing the supreme sovereignty of God. Or if you don't know it, at least recognizing it and trying to get a hold of it. It comes from understanding that Jesus is our sovereign Lord with supreme sovereign power, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and that you are a member of this royal priesthood of kings. The same anointing of liberty. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me that came upon Jesus. It's the same anointing of liberty that came upon you. That anointing upon you signifies God's blessings upon you. It signifies the blessings of God, liberty, God's liberty, freedom, authority, authorization, the power to authorize, meaning speak, the power of the blessing that you are wearing, God's crown of righteousness. It's been placed upon your head. The anointing signifies God's blessing of permission that has come upon you. God's blessings of being able to see with your spiritual sight. God's blessing signifying that you, brothers and sisters, been blessed by God with spiritual hope. Hope that comes upon you because you are in Christ Jesus. And then that hope is upon you, signifying God's blessings that you can hear supernaturally, can understand supernaturally, and that you can speak those things that are not as though they are right now. That anointing, as I said yesterday, signifies God's blessings that you have entered into now. Faith, the now fruit of faith, the now gift of faith has come up on you, signifying blessings of God's own Holy Spirit moving, operating, teaching you, hearing from God and then delivering it to you, hearing and you hearing and speaking, making you a testimony of God himself, making you, because it's the anointing signifying that you have staying power, praying power, sending power, that you have been blessed with the gift of knowing. How do you know? Because the anointing signifying God's blessings of you obtaining the heart of Jesus, that you obtaining the mind of Christ, and the anointing signifying God's blessing has come upon you, signifying God's blessing of financial wealth, debt cancellation has already come upon you. The anointing signifying of God's blessings of you ministering, speaking, and the Lord working with you with signs, miracles, and wonders, confirming his word spoken through you. The anointing has already come upon you, signifying God's blessings of victory over all your past defeat. I mean, that's enough right there. The anointing has come upon you to signify God's blessing of resurrection power, power to raise the dead, power to raise any and all dead things around you. The anointing has come upon you, signifying God's blessing of health and healing. And the greatest part of all, like I said yesterday. The anointing has come upon you to signify God's blessing of himself has come upon you. You see, the anointing of God is God himself. Therefore, the anointing of God cannot deny himself. That is how all things are possible and nothing is impossible with God, due to the fact that God's word is anointed by God himself through his own anointing, which establishes you forever. God said, I am the Lord, I change not. It's his covenant. It's his covenant to you and I. The anointing of God coming upon you, signifying that God himself is the power within you to serve himself and be served by himself. God has placed his anointing on people just like you and me, signifying that he himself is blessing whom he has chosen to do the mighty things that he needs done, and that can only be done through the spirit of liberty in Christ Jesus. This anointing has come upon your life, giving you the power to be changed into the likeness of Christ and change the lives of others into the likeness of Christ. And now you'll begin to experience, you'll begin to know exponentially the next level of God's anointing with power. See, first you had to know what you had to know in order to be able to operate and administer through the anointing of God himself manifested in you, allowing you and his power to flow through you, out of you, to others. It's just awesome, I think. But you got, if you don't get nothing, if you don't get that, you're not going to get it. That's the basis for all of it. That's the basis for you stepping up out of where you are into where you need to be, empowered by God, Christ in you. That's the purpose. Remember, I told you, God saved you for himself. Some of you think he did it for you. Mm-mm, he did it for himself in an unselfish manner. I recapped yesterday. I probably could recap it a million different ways, and I'm probably going to. But this is what I got to do. I got to do an expose. God used us to, used his ability in us to learn all that he had us learn about these cameras, about this editing and that. Because I'm going to do an expose on witchcraft. I'm going to reveal and be used by God. It might be, you know how they say, I don't know, but I'm going to expose it, because I happen to know too much about it not to expose it. And I know how horrible it is. I know how much death, devastation, and destruction it has caused in the lives of people. Last night, I began to connect the dots. I began to see the horrors that God even protected me from ministering to people of witchcraft. God allowed me to take some blows from witches, man. I should have been dead. But I can't die until I know I got to do this expose. I know I've got to reveal how witchcraft has devastated and is devastating. Hidden. Killing people, destroying the fruit of their lives in Christ. Blocking them, stopping them from ever even getting to Christ. And the subtleties of it. And there's some other things I'm going to expose to. I'm going to expose it. And I'm going to put it out there. I've seen what it has done. I've seen what it's doing now. We saw the University of Wisconsin. They brought in, I don't know, a couple hundred Buddhist priests from Tibet. The neuroscientists did. Study Buddhism. Now, at the University of Wisconsin Center, they're bringing in teachers to train kindergartners, first and second and third graders, from the same stuff they got from the Buddhist priests. Jose and I watched this happen. We documented. As a matter of fact, God took him from California to Madison right there. And if I'm not mistaken, his father went to the University of Wisconsin at Madison. And you know what? Yesterday he shows me, look what they're doing to kids through that same stuff they got from those Buddhist priests. They put those little caps on their head and studied their brain in meditation. And now they're going to bring the teachers in, educators, to train your children. You've got to have more power. That's why he has me teaching you the truth of the anointing, the reality of the anointing. You got it. I don't minister in the flesh. I minister by the anointing. And so do a lot of other people. You know why? Because God have levels. He got to have some people now that know how to go in, take authority in the spiritual realm, and bring people out of that stuff. And I make no apologies. I'm one of them. And if you've been on this TED line any length of time, you are too. Because this TED line isn't for everybody. I know that. It's for those people that are called to win in spiritual warfare. It's for those people that God has called to have to win, to win, to win, to win, to win. I make no apologies for being a winner. And I make no apologies for knowing I can win. And you know how I know how to win? I lost a lot of battles. But I pick myself up and say, I can't lose in this. I am a soldier for real. I'm a leader for real. Mm-mm. Nope. And so are you. I'm praying with the knowledge of the anointing that abides in you. And look, it don't lift up off of you. If you're anointed at 6 a.m., you're anointed at 6 p.m., you're anointed at 9 p.m., you're anointed at 11:59 going into midnight. it does not lift up off of you. Sometimes it's operating at a stronger degree or stronger level, or, you know, because sometimes God comes on you to a degree where you can't do nothing but surrender. And that can be in your kitchen. That can be in your bathtub. That could be as you walking from one room to another room in your house. But you got to learn how to operate in it. And it comes with more warfare. To whom much is given, much is required. So you're going to have to make up your mind for real. Do I really, really, really want this? Because I know it's coming with persecution. I got a little book on persecution I wrote years ago, too. So Sunday, I want to do a deliverance for kids to go back to school. We'll send you I asked Reggie to send you a text. Don't forget about the fast. Now, make no mistake about this fast. We're fasting for more power. This fast is to fast for more power with God. Okay? So if you don't want to do it, if you don't want no more power, if you're satisfied with where you are, don't do it. If you're satisfied with where you are, you can disregard everything I've been teaching on the anointing. And you can wait till you're ready. Because this is a big responsibility. I'm not making light of it. But my job is to teach it. My job is to not withhold anything from you that God has given me to give to you. God, my job is to be used as a facilitator of God to get you into the next area of Him in you. That's all. So when you hear me play this song, He keeps on blessing me over and over again. Take your mind off the natural things of God and put your mind, brothers and sisters, on this anointing that I told you about of liberty and the liberty in it. Put your mind on this. The Spirit of the Lord God is up on you. Because the Lord hath anointed you to preach good tidings unto the meek, He has sent you to build up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and you know the B part, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in the church, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And what did He say? He said, and they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. And for your shame that you've been through, you're going to have double. And you're going to possess the land. And you're going to have double everlasting joy. And God says that He will direct your work in truth, because He has made an everlasting covenant with you. So, yeah, it ought to be easy for you to appreciate this song. He keeps on blessing you, brothers and sisters. He just keeps on blessing me. And every time I hear this. I know God gave this song to this man, to this brother. I know he did. Because if ever a song was the truth and anointed by God to bring your understanding, this is it. He keeps on blessing you over and over. And in that song, he say, forever and ever. See you tomorrow on the TED Line.
This is a song that my father-in-law wrote. The title of the song is You Keep On Blessing Me. Over and over again. Come on, y'all.
Over and over again.
Here we go. Come on.
Let's try to clap your hands. Come on.
Woo!
Thank you. boundless.